Thank you, Brenda. You know, what a great admonition that is for others to see Jesus in us. A lot of folks won't listen to what we say, but they sure will watch our lives. And when they can see Jesus in us, it's a great testimony. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening and to our webcast service today. Pray that you're blessed. The Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, comforts you, encourages you, challenges you, depending on whatever it is that you need as you come into His presence today. And even though we're scattered from the church to wherever you are listening, God is still there. There's no place that He's not, and so we know He's there with you. Father, as we study Your Word today, as we sing, as we worship, as we pray, thank You for the presence of the Holy Spirit. May He honor and lift up Jesus. May everything that is said and done be for Your glory. Father, You know the hearts, the minds of the people that are listening. Precious Holy Spirit, would You take what is done in this service and fit it to meet the needs of every person that listens? And we thank You for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. We welcome you all on the webcast today to Sunday, August the 23rd. And we will do a hymn sing as we normally do each and every Sunday. Our hymn sing today is "Great is Our Faithfulness." And this song is loved by one of our homebound members of our church, and Nell Jackman. So Nell, this is for you, Brenda. Well, good morning again. I'll have some announcements for you at this time, and we will have a call conference today to elect messengers to the Stanley Montgomery Association, and we will also be electing two new members of our Building Grounds Committee. So you all be prepared today as we will have our conference today. We also will be celebrating communion. We'll have the Lord's Supper on Sunday, August the 30th. And again, we will make sure that this is done safely and be done a little differently, but we will still be recognizing and honoring communion here. We also want to remind you that today is the day for the for you to donate to the Otis Goyne Memorial Fund. Otis had quite a ministry here in the county and in Montgomery County as well, working with the aged and people and needed the help. And he was noted for that. And so in his passing, there will be an Otis Goyne Memorial Fund, and we want to be sure that we give you an opportunity to contribute. So just step up and put your name on the envelope and mark it for Otis Goyne Memorial Fund. We also will be continuing on with our services as usual. And when I say as usual, it's the new usual. And so we will be continuing on with the webcast each Saturday. And then we will also have our parking lot service at 9. So mark your records to that, please. That's all the announcements I have for today. I want to now go turn our attention to the prayer request, and there I have several that I need to mention this morning. First, I want to mention Jeff Kay. Jeff Kay had surgery this week for blockages in the leg, and he had several blockages, and they were all were taken care of and successful surgery. And Jeff is back home and doing well. And I've challenged him to a foot race, and so we'll see how all that works out in the end. But he does have to go back in two weeks or so for the other leg, who has blockages there as well. So keep Jeff in your prayers. Let's remember Kathy High this week. Kathy advises that she will be undergoing two MRIs next week, and one of them could be quite lengthy, as much as 2.5 hours in length. So let's pray for Kathy next week. She'll be under a lot of stress, and we pray for the Lord's guidance, not only for her health or what she's having with her feet, but also in school and the new arrangement she has in school, as we need to pray for all of our school children. I want us to remember a newborn, Finn McCarley. Finn is the grandson of a sales associate of mine at Culp, and he was born this week, and he's having a problem, respiratory problem, so he's in the ICU. So let's please pray for Finn McCarley. Marie Burris. Marie Burris is having heart problems again. I think she needs a special touch from the Lord. So let's keep Marie in our prayers. Let's pray for Doug Sasser. Doug is not doing very well, quite frankly, right now. And so let's remember Doug. They have called hospice in to be by his side. And Christine, let's remember Christine, as she is a primary caregiver, I'm sure, at this point. Let's remember Christine and the entire family at this point in time. Also, let's remember Wendell Talley. David said that he was still having some difficulty with the rhythm of his heart, so let's pray for him. And Pat Burgess. I've not been able to see Pat since the pandemic kept us all away, but Pat's not doing very well, and she's weak, and we need to remember her in our prayers. Let's remember the Tom Rogers family. Tom was a previous principal at West Stanley, and let's remember him. Tom passed away, and let's remember the family. I've also been told that Bryson Martin had to go back to St. Jude, and he's back in St. Jude. That's the young man that we've been praying for so hard here, and let's keep praying for him as he battles the cancer there. Let's pray for Earlene Burris. Earlene Burris, I talked with Pastor Terry this week, and Earlene is not doing very well. She's had some problems with the chemo situation, and so they're reevaluating what she will be doing in the future. Certainly, we need to pray for Earlene. I know that's in God's hands, and God controls it all, so let's pray for her. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray for us as we continue on to do things differently, but we do them well in God's name. And I'm so thankful for that. So pray for Pastor Ed. Lift him up and always. And that's all the prayer requests I have at this particular time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us as we stand. And Lord, as we are able to be together in this special group that we have each Saturday for the webcast. Lord, we thank you so much for them. But Lord, before we ever ask you for anything, we want to say thank you for the blessings that you've already given us. Thank you for the many countless blessings that we can have and we can observe. But then, Lord, there are those among us and those that have been requested special prayer. And Lord, I want to lift them up to you now. Lord, let's pray. I pray, Lord, for Jeff Kay as he continues, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, already for the praise report that his surgery was successful. But Lord, we know he has some more in the future. So we pray for Jeff. Pray for Kathy, not only Kathy for her health, but also for the school and the new arrangements that she has to be cognizant of at school. So we pray for her, all the children that are now adjusting to school. We pray for the young infant son of Finn McCarley, who is the infant son of an associate of mine. We pray for him. Marie Burris, I lift her up to you, Lord. She is having a difficult time and have heart problems. We pray for Brother Doug Sasser, Lord. Brother Doug is low in health, and Lord, we know he needs your touch. We pray, Lord, a special touch for him, and we pray for Christine, and we pray for the family as all that are there. Continue to pray for Wendell Talley and his problems with his heart. Miss Pat Burgess, Lord, we pray for her, and Lord, we ask that you would give her strength. We ask you to give her courage, and we ask you to give her peace. And then, Lord, there's those that remember, Lord, the Tom Rogers family who lost their loved one. We pray for that family today. Little Bryson Martin, as he's back at St. June, we lift him up to you as well. And then, Lord, we pray, Lord, for Earlene Burris. And, Lord, I know that the situation's in your hands and you're bigger than any problem that we have. And, Lord, we place her, Lord, firmly in your hands, and we pray for your will to be done in her life. And now, Lord, as we go forward in this service today, Lord, we're so thankful for what's already been done, but now we want to pray a special prayer for Brother Ed as he comes and as he preaches to us today. And then, Lord, if there be someone out there listening to this program on the web today that does not know you as their Savior, Lord, we pray that they would come to know the forgiveness of their sins. And, Lord, we do thank you for it all. And these blessings we pray in your name, sweet Jesus. Amen. He's the open.
to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through His love our hearts can fill all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life. Only we can share.
Thank you, Tonda, for our special music. And it really goes with what I hope will come across when I preach. You know, one of the precious special times when you were in the lower grades in school was show and tell. One Friday it might be you could show off your favorite book, and then the next Friday it might be your favorite toy, and the next Friday it might be your favorite pet. And your favorite thing to eat or whatever. But everybody got to stand up and talk about something that was special to them. Show and tell. Now, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture today in Mark 5 about a man who was asked to go show and tell. It's a strange, strange story. It's one that tells of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it tells of His special invitation, His special mission for a young man to go and tell. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. And they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by the God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there were nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. The herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that's fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. They came to Jesus. They see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting, clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told him how it befell to him that it was possessed with the devils, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends, tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Here you find Jesus coming and his disciples coming into a place of Gadara. Almost immediately they encounter a man that was demon possessed. He was so troubled, so bound up with demons that people had tried to chain him. They tried to put handcuffs on him. They tried to put leg irons on him and everything that was possible in that day. And the demons in him made him so strong that he broke off anything that they tried to chain him. People had tried various manners to calm him down, to tame him, as the King James says, and nobody could do anything. And I find it interesting, in verse 6 he said, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Now, as you know from the story, there's 2,000 demons in this man. All the demons in hell can't keep you from coming to Jesus. I know that people think, well, I can't do that because the devil's preventing it. The devil can throw some roadblocks in your path. He can hamper you. He can cause some problems. But when you want to come to Jesus, the devil can't stop you. And that's a tremendous story. And it hit me this morning as I was thinking about this again. Don't you know all those demons just had a fit when this man fell down and began to worship Jesus? I mean, here they hated Jesus. They were opposed to Jesus. And the man that they or in possession of, falls down and goes to worshiping Jesus. It's just amazing. I imagine they just, were beside themselves. Because Jesus had already said, as soon as the man came up, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And it says that just, he knew that Jesus could torment them. And so Jesus gave them liberty or freedom to get into the swine or the hogs, and they all ran down and drowned. The townspeople come out. They see what's going on. And they see this man. He's clothed. He's in his right mind. And instead of rejoicing, they get all bent out of shape. I guess they're thinking about all the ham and the pork chops, and the sausage that they weren't going to have. They were probably thinking about all the food they weren't going to get, and they didn't care about this man's deliverance. At the end, when Jesus gets back on the ship to go, the man wants to go and be a part of the followers of Jesus. But notice what Jesus tells him in verse 19. Go home to your friends. Tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee and how he has had compassion on thee. He said, go home, show and tell. Go home, show and tell. You've got people that need to hear what I've done for you. Now, when I read this, I think about a number of different things that come to mind. One is what I've already said, that no demon in hell can keep you from coming to Jesus. The second thing I see here and think about is, will we be faithful to the Lord after the blessing comes? After God has blessed us, will we still continue to be faithful? You know, in 50 plus years as a pastor, how many times I've stood in a hospital room and somebody's in dire straits, their health looks fragile, and they lay there and say, "Preacher, if God will just get me out of here, I'll be the most faithful church member you've ever had." And so they are delivered. They get better. And I don't see them at church, and I don't see them at church. Run into them at some store, and I say, "Brother, I've been looking for you." "Well, preacher, I'm still recovering, but I'm going to be there." And when you leave the church 10 years later, they still haven't showed up. It's one thing to lay there on that bed of affliction and promise God all kinds of things. It's another thing to be faithful when God answers. You know, I could probably fill up a building with people who have made promises like this to the Lord. Promise to me wasn't that important, but the promise they made to the Lord, the God of the universe, and they didn't keep it. Another thing is that sometimes the Lord gives us a ministry that's not the one we wanted. Now, see, this man wanted to go and maybe be a disciple number 13, or at least one of those great multitude. We know that there were more than the 12 disciples, because whenever they got ready to replace Judas, they said, "Let's take a vote. Let's see which one the Lord wants of those that have been with us from the beginning." So there were more than just that dozen. Now, they get all the publicity, but there were others. And so this man wanted to be a part of that. He wanted to, and you know, that's an honorable thought, an honorable desire, an honorable thing. And yet, Jesus said, "I've got a different ministry for you. I want you to go home and show and tell. You've got friends here on the other side of the Sea of Galilee that need to hear. I'm doing most of my ministry on the west side of the Sea of Galilee. Here on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, there's some people that need to hear about me. Would you go and do that?" You know, not everybody has the same ministry. The 12 got the spotlight. Peter, James, and John got more spotlight than the others. This man, we don't even know his name. But God had a ministry for him. I think back over some things that I thought, this is what God wants me to do. But evidently not. If you'd asked me back when I was in seminary, "Ed, how long were you pastor full time?" I said, "About 3 or 4 more years, and then I'm going to be at Wingate or someplace. I'm going to be a Bible teacher." Well, here it is 50 years later, and I'm still a pastor, and I haven't been a Bible teacher at any college. But that's what I thought my ministry was going to be. But, you know, God had other plans. I planned on, when I retired, getting a motorhome and going up north, not up north, but out west up north, and preaching for preachers that just needed a break. I had a preacher friend that said he did a mission church in North Dakota for 3 years, and he never got a vacation because there wasn't any preachers around there to fill in for him to be gone. And I thought, oh, that'd be just great, just to be able to go to a place like that and say, "Take 2 weeks off. I'm retired. I've got my own Social Security. I don't need your money. Just let me preach." Well, that didn't happen either. But you know, God's ministry for each person is different. And each one is special. Each one is needed. And if God wants us in a different ministry, it's just up to us to be faithful. Yes, Lord. You know, even the great Apostle Paul, there were some places he thought he was going. And the Holy Spirit said, no, you don't go there. Well, I'll go over here. No, you don't go over there either. But Paul was obedient, ended up in Macedonia, and began that church. Here was a man that wanted a ministry of following Jesus. Jesus gave him a different ministry. And he was faithful. Another thought that comes to mind is sometimes we have to do our ministry for Jesus in a hostile environment. Now you think about it. These folks had just come out from the town. They saw that their pigs were dead. They heard how this man had been delivered. And they got upset. And verse 17 said, they began to pray him to depart out of their coat. And they said, go away. Jesus, just go away. We don't want you here. Jesus, just go away. And occasionally, and sometimes more than occasionally, when God begins to move in a church or a community, people don't want the Lord to do anything. They don't want the Lord's presence. We all say, oh, I'd love for our church to have revival. I mean, not services, real revival. And yet, if real revival came, how many of us would be pleased? If God showed up in His power, God showed up in His glory, and God began to do all that He would like to do in the midst of any church, of anybody that's listening today, would we be pleased? I know of a pastor who told me of a man that came to him and says, we'll not have any of that in our church. I just spent about 30 minutes on FaceTime with a man that's older than I am that just became a pastor of a church on the Oklahoma-Arkansas border. And they've already told him, we don't want any moves of God in our church. Now, he loves the Lord, and he's going to see what the Lord does through him. But sometimes we just have to serve the Lord in a hostile situation. This man was faced with friends and family and fellow citizens who had already told Jesus to get out of town. And yet Jesus told him, you go back into that situation and share, show and tell what God has done for you. Sometimes we're the only Christian in a workplace, the only Christian in a dorm pod, the only Christian in a neighborhood. Sometimes we're around people that aren't loving the Lord. Are we going to be faithful in that situation? Well, verse 20 says he was. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. I mean, he's got to have been famous or notorious because of how demon-possessed he was and how people had tried to tie him and bind him and chain him and tame him. And when they came and saw him like that, and in his right mind, it's saying, Jesus did it for me. Jesus changed my life. Jesus made all the difference. And it just staggered their minds. And the wonderful thing about it is his faithfulness brought tremendous results. If you flip over in Mark to chapter 7, to verse 31, and again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. Now, where'd that man go to share? Decapolis. And so Jesus is coming back to that same area. Decapolis means the 10 cities. So evidently there were at least 10 towns of some size in that area. And Jesus comes back. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment of speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spat and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto them, Epaphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that he should tell no man, but the more he charged them, the more great deal they published it. And they were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. In those days, the multitude being very great, having nothing to eat, Jesus called the disciples unto them and saying, and that goes on about the feeding of the 4,000. Now, if you go back over to Matthew, the 15th chapter, and Matthew's account of this says, Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, went up to a mountain and sat down there, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, the blind to see, they glorified the God of Israel. Now you see, both accounts go together. And so it was that this man accepted the assignment that Jesus gave him. He went around his area of those 10 cities, glorifying the Lord, doing what I said, show and tell. And they saw his life that was different. They heard him tell of a life that was different, all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, when Jesus comes back to the area, multitudes show up. And at least 4,000 people, because that's how many they said they fed, showed up and sat there for 3 days listening to Jesus teach, as well as a multitude of all the folks that brought their sick and their lame and named about everything that could be wrong with a person. And Jesus healed them all. All because one man was faithful in a hostile environment to share Jesus. And folks, that's what our world needs today, for us to show and tell, because people do need the Lord. People need to see Jesus in us. And when they see Jesus in us, it's going to make a difference. Amen. Your ministry is not my ministry. My ministry is not yours. You see people that I never see. I see people that you may not see. Our own way of doing things is different. I see various people and the way they share the Lord, and I think, I wish I could be that way, but I'm not. Maybe others see the way I do things and say, well, I wish I could be like Pastor Ed, but they're not. But the Lord needs us all. He uses us all. He has an assignment for us all. Are we faithful? God has an assignment. When God has changed your life, when God has done something for your life, be faithful to go show and tell. And you'll be amazed at how the Lord will use you to change the lives of others and bring them into the kingdom. Now today, if you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He'd like to save you. He'd like to bring you into His family. You believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and God raised Him from the dead. You confess with your mouth that He is Lord. The Bible says you will be saved. I pray that today, if you don't know the Lord, you'll give your heart to Him. And you'll find some godly church to be a part of. We'd love to have you at Barbie's Grove, but you'll find a godly church where the Bible is taught, where you can be a part of that church. If you're one of those that you made promises to the Lord in years past, Lord, if you'll just do this, if you'll just do that, then I'll be faithful. And you haven't kept that promise. First thing you need to do is repent. God, forgive me. But then begin to be faithful. And you'll be surprised how God can use you. If God's giving you an assignment and it wasn't the one you wanted and you're sort of pouting, well, I wanted to do something different. Repent of that as well. It's a bad attitude. And say, Lord, I'll be obedient. Because, you know, the Bible says he that's faithful in the least, God's going to give more to. And when we are faithful in the assignment that God gives us, he'll give us even greater assignment. Fathers, we bow before you today, so grateful for Jesus. So grateful that he was in the life-changing business and that he still is in the life-changing business. And whether we need salvation or healing or deliverance, whether we need direction or guidance or just to feel love, thank you that Jesus is our Savior and our Lord. And Father, I pray for every person that's listening that today they will receive the abundant blessing from the Lord Jesus Christ that they need. Father, help them to know that there's no addiction or affliction that's beyond his control. Help them to realize the devil's a liar, that he cannot keep them from coming to Jesus. And Father, help them to kneel at the feet of our Lord Jesus and worship and allow him to change us for his glory, to give us a new assignment in his service, and to know that we walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit as we serve him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.